Chapter 3. Amy's Accident and Meg's Parties. One afternoon, Meg and Joe were getting ready to go out.
"Where are you going?"
asked Amy.
"I want to come along."
"You weren't invited,"
said Meg.
"You can come."
"You're going somewhere with Lori,"
said Amy. "That's right," said Joe. "Now stop bothering us."
"You're going to the theater,"
cried Amy.
"I want to go too."
"We could take her with us,"
said Meg. "No," said Joe. "Lori invited just two of us."
"But Meg says I can go,"
cried Amy. "You just stay in the house," said Joe angrily.
"You'll be sorry for this, Joe March,"
Amy shouted as the older girls left the house. Joe and Meg enjoyed themselves at the theater with Lori, but Joe couldn't stop wondering what Amy would do to make her sorry. The next afternoon, Joe found out when she looked for her notebook of stories.
"Has anyone seen my notebook?" she asked.
Meg and Beth said,
"No."
But Amy was silent.
"Amy, where is it?"
Joe asked.
"You're never going to see it again because I burned it."
Joe's face turned pale.
"I worked so hard writing those stories."
"I said you'd be sorry, and now you are,"
shouted Amy. Joe grabbed her shoulders and shook her.
"You are a wicked, wicked little girl,"
Joe cried.
"I'll never forgive you."
When Mrs. March came home and heard the story, she said to Amy,
"How could you do that? Those were stories Joe hoped to get printed in the newspaper."
Amy realized what a terrible thing she had done and started to cry. Later, she begged Joe to forgive her. But Joe answered,
"I'll never forgive you."
The next day, Joe went out to skate with Lori. Meg told Amy to follow Joe and do something nice while she was in a good mood. So Amy went to the river and started skating too. Joe turned away when she saw her.
"The ice in the middle isn't safe,"
called Lori.
"Stay near the edge."
Joe heard the warning, but Amy didn't. She skated to the middle of the river. Suddenly, the ice cracked. Amy fell through the ice with a loud cry. Then Lori quickly skated past Joe. She tried to call to Lori, but her voice was gone.
"Bring a large piece of wood,"
Lori shouted. Joe got the wood and pushed it across the ice while Lori held Amy's head above the water. They pulled her out and quickly took the frightened girl home. Mother wrapped Amy in blankets. She soon fell asleep. Then Joe asked her mother,
"Are you sure she'll be okay?"
"Yes, it's a good thing you got her home so quickly."
"Thanks to Lori. Oh, it's my fault. I lose my temper so easily. Why can't I be more like you?"
"I get angry every day," said Mrs. March. "But I've learned to hide it. I don't allow all of those angry words to leave my lips. You'll learn to do the same one day." Joe began to cry. This made Amy open her eyes and smile. Her smile hit Joe straight in the heart. They hugged one another. Everything was forgiven and forgotten. In April, Meg accepted Annie Moffat's invitation to stay at her large house. There, the more time Meg spent admiring Annie's pretty things, the more she wished she could be rich. Then came the evening of a party. While the girls were getting ready, a box of flowers arrived.
"These are for Miss March,"
said the servant.
"There's a letter, too."
"How exciting!" said the girls. "Who are they from?"
"The letter is from my mother, and the flowers are from Laurie,"
Meg answered.
"Really?"
Annie said with a strange look. At the party, Meg was asked to sing, and everyone said she had a beautiful voice. But then, while she was standing on the other side of a large table of flowers, she heard Annie Moffat and her older sister Belle gossiping about her.
"It would be good for one of these poor March girls to marry young Lawrence. He's very rich," said Annie.
"I think Mrs. March is probably planning something like that,"
said Belle. Meg felt terrible about what she had heard. She cried silently to herself. The next day, Belle offered to lend Meg a dress for Thursday. Meg tried to refuse it, but she couldn't. On that day, Belle painted Meg's lips and helped her into a beautiful sky blue dress. Meg was shocked when she saw herself in the mirror because the neckline of the dress was cut so low. Meg felt uncomfortable in such fine clothes at first, but she soon found that people who usually didn't speak to her were suddenly very interested. Many young men were asking to be introduced to her. Meg spotted Laurie across the room. He was staring at her unhappily. When she walked up to Laurie, she saw Belle and Annie watching and smiling at her.
"I'm so happy you came,"
Meg said in her most mature voice.
"Joe asked me to come and tell her how you looked."
"What are you going to say?"
Meg asked.
"That you look so different that I didn't recognize you."
"The girls wanted to dress me up. Don't you like it?"
"No, I don't,"
he replied coolly. This made Meg angry.
"Then I won't stay with you."
Later at dinner, Meg drank a lot of wine with some boys. Laurie warned her,
"You're going to be sick tomorrow if you drink too much."
But Meg kept drinking and dancing and laughing. On the following day, Meg was very sick. When she returned home on Saturday, she told her mother and Joe about the fancy dress she had worn and all the wine she had drunk. She told the story as if it was funny, but her face looked worried by the end. "Is there something you're not telling us?" asked Mother. Meg's cheeks became red.
"I hate those people for the terrible things they said about us and Laurie,"
she said. Then she told them about the gossip she had overheard.
"That's garbage," cried Joe. "Laurie will laugh when I tell him about the plans."
"No, you must never repeat that wicked gossip," Mother said to Joe.
"Do you have plans?"
Meg asked Mother. "All mothers have plans, my dear, but mine are different from what the Moffats think. I want my daughters to be loved, and I want them to be respected by the community. I'd rather you be poor if it means you have a peaceful life. Your father and I will always be proud of you, whether you get married or stay single."
"We will make you proud of us,"
said Meg and Joe together.